حسنات ماكثين فيه أبدا. وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فهو الرحمة المهداة والنعمة المصداة والسراج المنير. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العظيم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم، ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين. صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever hopes for the meeting with Allah, let him know that Allah's time is coming. He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. And whoever struggles, struggles only for his own sake. Truly Allah is free and independent of all the worlds. According to the Greenwich Observatory, tonight we'll see the coming in of the new moon of Muharram. So tomorrow, or perhaps the day after, Muslims will be greeting the beginning of a new year. Some human beings are by instinct pessimistic and fearful of the future. Others are by instinct hopeful, their hearts uplifted. The believer is someone who fears, but also someone who hopes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love hope. Throughout his seerah, even in the darkest days, there was always hope. And we commemorate as the beginning of our calendar a great moment when hope seemed to dawn. The situation in Makkah, in the dark days of the persecution of Quraysh, had seemed miserable and hopeless. A new dawn seemed to begin. However, at the outset in Medina, it was far from clear which way things would go. A small community of asylum seekers, refugees, fugitive monotheists in an overwhelmingly Jewish and pagan city. The outlook cannot have looked terribly bright. But this month, the month of Muharram, is, as we know, the beginning of a new dawn, not only for the first few Muslims, but for all of humanity. History after the Hijrah would not be the same again. The real believer, the one who has in his heart something of the hope that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam examples for us, greets the beginning of the new year, the holy month of Muharram, with hope and indeed with rejoicing. One in whose heart is some swerving, some doubt, some sense that history is tragic, greets the month of Muharram with sadness. It's the difference between true and false religion, between hope and despair, between joy that indeed Allah's time is coming, and despair and hopelessness at the scale of the task and the forces that are arranged against us. The Muslim community today is faced with many challenges. As many of them are internal as are coming from outside. The forces ranged against us might seem formidable, but not as formidable as the forces that were ranged against the first community of monotheists as they made their way by stealth to the oasis city of Medina. Our history is filled with indications of the importance of hope, but constantly we are asked to bear in mind the difference between true hope and false hope. The real Muslim, as he sees the first dawn of the new year, will be full of hope, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring to pass whatever he wishes for the believers. The false believer is either filled with despair, or he thinks that things can just be left to go along and Allah will take care of the consequences. He doesn't need to change himself. Allah will sort it out. Sometimes in the Muslim world we hear this kind of false hope expressed in the phrase, for instance, Khaliha Allah, let Allah deal with it. Sometimes just an excuse for laziness or inaction or cowardice. The true believer's heart is full of hope. In fact, perhaps that's the definition of what Iman is. If you believe in Allah, the way he has described himself in the Quran, you cannot but be full of hope. The one who is powerful over all things is certainly powerful enough to change our condition individually and as an ummah. False hope is called in Arabic tamanni. True hope is called raja. The believer hopes for the best from his Lord, but makes sure that he does something in order to deserve the best outcome, so that Allah's mercy and his justice may come together. The false believer is the one who yatamanna, just hopes that things will be all right, doesn't actually make an effort. As the hadith says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. وَالْعَادِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. The intelligent person, the hadith says, is the one who calls himself to account and works for what follows death. That's the definition. In other words, don't just let your nafs, yourself, run around and hope that everything will be all right. This is about the nafs, self-restraint, calling it to account, muhasaba, and works for what follows death. In other words, he's smart and he knows that eternity matters much more than anything that might happen in the here and now, except insofar as what confronts us the next few days or perhaps years is going to make a difference to our eternity. But the ajiz, the failure, the loser, is the one who lets his nafs follow its hawa, its passion, its whim, whatever it feels like doing, but tamanna ala Allah, and just hopes that Allah will sort it all out. This is the prophetic wisdom, and the difference between true hope and false hope is very evident. A true believer is the one who takes steps. A false believer is the one who just gets on with whatever he feels like doing and hopes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will necessarily make things good for him and for the ummah in future. This is not the prophetic wisdom. We look at the steps he took, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he reaches Medina. He doesn't just sit around and wait for things to get better, waiting for better times. No, immediately he plans, he has strategies, he forms alliances, and those bear fruit within a very small number of years. So intelligent is the style of his hope that we are here today and the world is radically changed. This is what's required. And sometimes it's not easy to see how we combine these things. How can you fully rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping and trusting that his intentions towards you and towards the believers are good, and at the same time try and make a difference to the world? This is one of the deep mysteries. And all that we are required to know is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to act, and has commanded us to work in the world of cause and effect, to plan, to have strategies, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the outcomes. So many cases in our history are indicative of this. Beautiful incidents that show how people can turn around. Muharram is the time of turning around. New beginner, new beginning, one of the Arabic words for year is the hawl, year comes around, and we should come around, we should turn around as well. New opportunity. This time last year, we had no idea that we would make it through the year, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His providence has brought us to this date. We need to turn around. We need to turn around with the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can affect the souls of even the most obdurate and difficult individuals and communities. He can do this. There's an old story of a drunkard in Baghdad. 1,000 years ago, a rich drunkard, miscreant. One day, he gathered together his friends and said, "Let's have a party." And he sent out his slave to get something to eat. He gave him 4 coins and sent him out to the bazaar to buy something. Baghdad, huge, great city. In the city, amongst the hurly-burly of the outward show of a great civilization, there were some rijal, some real men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more or less hidden amongst the population. And one of them, one of the most famous, was known as Mansur bin Ammar, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great zahid, and somebody who was famous in Baghdad for his dua being mustajab. You asked him for a prayer, his prayer would come about. The boy is going through the streets and he sees a door open, and there standing at the door is none other than Imam Mansur bin Ammar. And the sheikh has guests who are his disciples, they're studying. But he's come out to ask people in the street, "Can anybody give me a few coins because I want to give some money to the poor?" And the boy looks at the sheikh, who's not often seen, and decides to give these 4 coins that his owner has given him to the sheikh. And he says, "In exchange for this, you can have 4 prayers, 4 du'as. And he decides to do this. He gives the 4 dirhams, 1, 2, 3, 4, to the hand of the sheikh. And the sheikh says, "Well, what shall I pray for?" He thinks and he says, "The first du'a, please, should be for me to be free from my master, because I can't take it any longer." The sheikh makes a du'a. What's next? "The second du'a is that I should get my 4 coins back because I'm going to be in trouble." So he makes the du'a. "And the third du'a," and he thinks, "should be for my master to give up his bad habit of getting drunk every night." The sheikh makes a du'a. "What's the fourth?" "Well, ukhra." And he says, "The fourth one is that you should pray for his forgiveness and for my forgiveness and for your forgiveness and the forgiveness of everybody who's here in your majlis, in your gathering." The sheikh makes du'a, closes the door. The boy has to go back to his owner's house. Outwardly, nothing has changed. And he gets in and, of course, is in trouble. "Where's the money? Where's the food?" And he tells him what happened. "Well, I met the sheikh Mansur bin Ammar." And the man says, "What did he pray for?" "Well, firstly," he says, "I prayed that I should be free." So the man says, "Idhab fa anta hur li wajhillah." "Go, you're free for the sake of Allah." "The second was that I should get the 4 coins back," and so he gives him the money. "And the third is that you should give up your drinking habit." And he says, "Tubtu ilallah," and renounces it on the spot. Such is the respect with which even the bad Muslims held the people of Allah. "What was the fourth?" And he says, "The fourth," and he tells them, "it's for Allah to forgive you and to forgive me and forgive the sheikh and his disciples." And the man weeps and says, "I can't do that. That's not in my power." That night, the old man goes to sleep. And he has a dream, and in the dream he hears a voice. And the voice says to him, "You have done everything in your power. Do you not think that I can't do everything in my power? I've forgiven you. And I have forgiven the boy, and I have forgiven Mansur bin Ammar and all of his tullab, all of his students." who then went on to become a great of Ireland. If you look at our literature and our heritage, you'll see so many things like this. People coming to high degrees from apparently hopeless beginnings. Because hope is always there. There is always hope, even for the miscreant, even for the evil. And nobody should despise anybody on the basis of what we think that they're like, because we don't see the soul. And we don't see how they will be in future. We don't see the state that they will have at the moment of their death and the state they will have in the Akhirah. One of the great heroes, of course, of turning around, of Tawbah in our history, Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullahi alayh. Famous story of his Tawbah. He was a prince in the city of Balkh. And he had 1,000 slaves and great lands, retinue. Every night he would take a bath in a golden bathtub and sleep on sheets of silk. But he would make his prayers, considered himself to be a good man. One night he wakes up and there's a noise coming from upstairs, the roof. So he gets out of bed, goes up the stairs, and he finds somebody on his roof who's sort of scratching around, looking for something. He says, "Who are you? What are you doing?" He says, "I've lost my camel." He says, "You lost your camel on my roof? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard." And the man said, "The stupidest thing I ever heard was a man who was looking for Allah in a palace." And of course, immediately these words strike home. And Ibrahim bin Adham makes tawbah and repents. And goes out in rags into the world in order to set right the state of his heart. He realizes that he's in grave danger. Many stories are told of him and of the changes that he made to so many people's lives. He was seeking anonymity. For 5 years, he worked as the caretaker of a pomegranate garden. He just looked after the place, and after a few years, the owner came and said, "Bring me some of the sweetest pomegranates from the garden." Ibrahim bin Adham brings him some. The man gets angry when he's tasted them and says, "These are sour. Bring me some sweet ones." He goes back and brings some more. They're still sour, and he says, "You are an idiot. You've been working in my pomegranate garden for 5 years, and you don't know which are the sweet ones and which are the sour ones." Then he says, "I've never tasted any of them." So the man looks at him and says, "Anta Ibrahim bin Adham. You are Ibrahim bin Adham." Because of that incredible ikhlas, 5 years, never tasting anything because it wasn't his property. And he says, "Na'am, yes," and he goes off because he doesn't want to be known. Another great incident, another tawbah brought about in apparently hopeless circumstances by this one man. He's walking through the streets of Baghdad and he sees a disgusting sight. A drunkard has fallen down in the street in the dirt and he's vomited. Ibrahim bin Adham amazes everybody, brings some water, cleans the man up and washes out his mouth. And they said, "Why did you do that?" And they said, "This is a Muslim man. No doubt his mouth has at least once mentioned the name of Allah, and it's not right that his mouth should be polluted." He goes on. The man comes out of his drunkenness, wakes up and says, "Who cleaned me up?" And they told him what had happened. And of course, again, the man is so moved that he repents and he too becomes a great wayfarer on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But constantly his humility was incomparable. He goes on Hajj and he stays in the Haram for a long time, again seeking opportunities for purity of heart, being alone with his Lord. And so he says that when he was in Mecca, that he would wait for a time when كنت أنتظر مدة من الزمن أن يخلو المطاف بي. I waited for a time when I would be alone in the mataf, the flat area around the Holy Kaaba. فكانت ليلة ظلماء فيها مطر شديد. And then a very dark night came when there was intense rain. فخلى المطاف. And the mataf, the mosque was empty. فدخلت للطواف. So I went in to do my tawaf. وكنت أقول فيه Allahumma asimni. Allahumma asimni. O Allah, protect me. O Allah, protect me. فسمعت هاتفا يقول يا ابن آدم أنت تسألني العصمة وكل الناس يسألني العصمة فإذا عصمتكم فمن أرحم؟ أو ابن أدهم, the voice said, you are asking me for protection. All humanity asks me for protection. If I give them all protection, then on whom will I show mercy? Then he realizes. And that's the balance that the real Muslim has. Absolute tawakkul, absolute hope. But knowing always that Allah's protection is not guaranteed. That even the great ones who have renounced everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon them too calamities can descend. But this too is to be accepted in this true spirit of Islam. Rida, taslim, tawakkul, because it is an opportunity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make manifest His great mercy. This is a time of great transformation for the Muslim world. So many new questions are being asked, even when old questions have not been answered to everybody's satisfaction, and people are confused. But what is surely unambiguous is that we should take opportunities such as this in order to renew our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to check on the nafs, to check on the purity of our hearts, to check on the extent to which we are attached to dunya and the extent to which we are prepared to sacrifice potentially everything for the sake of the akhirah. Whatever else we might disagree on as Muslims with our different countries, tribes, languages, sects, denominations, that's one thing that is fundamental to the message of the Holy Quran and the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should all accept it without reservation. Tawbah is not controversial. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم, أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين, فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا ربي عبدك ببابك يرجو لي ثوابك ويخشى أليم عذابك وغيث رحمتك هطال. فمن عليه بتوبة تعصمه من كل حوبة وأعصمه من شر أوبة بمحض جودك والإفضال. فأنت مولى الموالي المنفرد بالكمال وبالعلا والتعالي علوت عن ضرب الأمثال. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.